This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:35 a.m. in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana with Chuang and Chen Li. If you're on the road, make sure you drive safe. We can see that it's raining buckets out there. Meanwhile, we're turning our attention to the big news of the week from Sunday. This year's Academy Awards was pretty historic beyond the slapping incident between Chris Rock and Will Smith, which was all anybody could talk about. But Coda became the first movie to win Best Picture that was backed by a tech giant rather than a traditional Hollywood studio.
And Apple took a gamble when it bought the distribution rights for the film for $25 million, a record amount for a Sundance film festival where Coda first premiered. But that sum is pocket change for a company with a $2.8 trillion valuation, and the investment paid off with a golden statuette.
Yeah, so both Apple and Netflix were in the running for Best Picture. Netflix fielded its gritty film, The Power of the Dog, with Benedict Cumberbatch. And Netflix has been trying to break through the Best Picture winner circle for a few years. It's tried with The Irishman 2020, Roma in 2019, but to no avail. Apple TV took the plaudits. However, the pandemic has elevated streaming platforms and the balance of power in the movie industry seems to be shifting in favour of the disruptors.
So what do these changing trends mean for the business of making and selling movies? Joining us for analysis on how this year's Oscars could impact the media sector, we have Geeta Ranganathan, media analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence. Geeta, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, both Netflix and Apple were vying for Best Picture at this year's Academy Awards, with the honor going to Apple's Coda. What edge does this accolade give streaming platforms?
Yeah, thank you so much for the question, and thank you so much for having me. Good morning, everyone. As you had pointed out, so many of these streaming platform movies have really been nominated for, the Best Picture Award, whether it was Netflix, whether it was Amazon Prime with Manchester of the Sea, whether it was Apple this year. So this is really, I think, a sign of the growing dominance of streamers like an Apple or like a Netflix. And obviously, this is Hollywood's most prestigious award ceremony. So just the fact that, so many streaming services have seen their films nominated, but none of them actually managed to take away the coveted top prize, and this year Apple did that, is really a big, big deal. And I think, just as you alluded to, it really points to a seminal moment in the media industry where we're going to see these power dynamics kind of shift in favor of the streamers.
But how much of a bump in subscribers could Apple expect from this win? And is it proportional to the investment that must have gone into the awards campaign?
Yeah, so I think it definitely raises the profile of Apple TV Plus pretty significantly. We don't know exactly. So Apple, up until this point, has not really disclosed the number of subscribers that they have. We know it's under 20 million. Compare that to Netflix, which has 222 million. So Apple TV Plus is still pretty much in its streaming infancy compared to some of the big dogs, whether it's, a Netflix or even an Amazon Prime. But just the fact it kind of swooped into Sundance to pick up Coda tells us that they're really serious about streaming as a business. And I think it definitely raises their profile. We know they spent about $10 million on the Oscar campaign itself, apart from spending about $25 million to actually buy the movie. I am absolutely sure that, it is going to give them some bump in subscribers, but I'm not sure exactly how much. So it's going to be a little bit hard to see whether it's going to be proportional to the investment, but it certainly raises their profile pretty dramatically.
Yeah, so as you say, it's quite a seminal moment. Apple TV, as we know, is only about 3 years old. So how does this tectonic shift upend traditional media? How does it all, evolve from here on in?
So, I think one thing that the pandemic has really done is it's kind of accelerated this digital transformation. I mean, we kind of knew that, streaming was there. Streaming kind of coexisted with the traditional model. But I think it's really kind of come into the limelight, and streamers have really arrived, and they've taken Hollywood by storm. And we're seeing, the traditional media companies respond by, obviously, each one of the traditional media operators now has a direct-to-consumer platform, has a streaming option available, whether it's a Disney, whether it's a Discovery with a Discovery Plus, whether it's the Warner Studio with HBO Max. So they all understand that in order to reach your consumer, you need to go direct-to-consumer, right? You need to have a streaming platform. So obviously that's a huge shift. And they understand that they need to reach the consumer first, which means that yes, it doesn't mean that theaters are going to go away. But I think studios are also more and more open to putting their films directly on streaming platforms. We saw Warner kind of do that last year with, you know, so many of their movies on HBO Max. We saw Disney do that with Black Widow. So they are willing to be flexible, and they're willing to go wherever the consumers are and meet them. If it's in the living room, they're willing to meet them in the living room.
Geeta, can I ask, with all these shifts going on, right, where do you see the main winners and losers? Because by the sounds of it, it's going to be streaming platforms that gain market share, and it's going to be the traditional cinema owners, perhaps, that fall by the wayside.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, we're seeing this total shift, I think, away from, you know, the traditional distribution systems, more to, you know, streaming, more to kind of going digital, direct to consumer. I think, you know, the winners and losers, obviously, it is absolutely imperative for any media company. If they want to future-proof their business, it's really, really important that they make that shift if they haven't done so already. I think most major players have already made that shift. But then it also, after a point, it also becomes a question of scale. So we know that Netflix has got 222 million global subscribers. Disney Plus has about 130 million. But you have so many of these other smaller services that have maybe, you know, 20 million, 40 million, 50 million. So the question is, are they going to be able to break that 100 million barrier? Are they going to be able to break that 200 million, you know, milestone? Not all of them are. So the way that we kind of see this whole landscape shaping up, of course, you know, Netflix and Disney are in that kind of neck and neck race. But we also see Amazon Prime as becoming a major, major competitor. They made some huge investments. They just bought a big film studio called MGM. They're really going after a lot of content, including sports content. So we do see them definitely becoming a huge player. And then, as you just mentioned, Apple TV Plus obviously getting very, very serious. And you know, this win at Oscars kind of really will embolden them to make some major investments, in my opinion.
The streaming pioneer Netflix's star seems to be dimming as investors worry about the company's growth prospects. But what are the most likely avenues for Netflix to grow its subscriber base or market share?
Yeah, there's definitely been, you know, that's a very, very important question. There's definitely been some slowdown. And I think a lot of it can be attributed to the pandemic pull forward of demand. Because in a typical year, we see Netflix add about, you know, 26, 27 million new subscribers. During the pandemic, they added, you know, almost close to 36, 37 million. So there was obviously a lot of pull forward of demand. And then we saw that exactly in the next year kind of play out with a dramatic slowdown. I think that is definitely going to normalize. And I think we're seeing those trends kind of revert back to what they were pre-pandemic. So that, you know, that is going to help Netflix kind of get back on the growth track. But I think over, you know, over the longer term, we're seeing definitely a shift, not just in the United States, but we're seeing a global shift away from, you know, the old traditional TV distribution model to streaming. And as that happens more and more, even in developing economies, Netflix obviously is a huge winner, especially since they're making so many investments in, you know, local content. We saw that with Squid Game. We're seeing that with so many more new shows, you know, whether it's Asian content, whether it's European content. So I think that's kind of going to revolutionize the whole content game, and that kind of positions them very well for the long term.
Yeah, just stay on Netflix for a while. I mean if you've got companies like JP Morgan who are very optimistic on Netflix, $605 price target for Netflix, but it hasn't really conquered global markets in the way that it wants to, right? For example, in India, it's been there 6 years, hasn't really done well there. What's the secret sauce that Netflix and, you know, other big global streaming providers need to, you know, sort out before they can really win international subscribers?
So that's a great question. That's a great observation as well. You know, India is obviously a huge market. Asia is a huge market. But if you kind of just look at Netflix's penetration in Asia, so if you look in the US, which is a well-saturated, which is a very mature, developed market, I would say about 60% of all households in the US that have an internet connection have a Netflix subscription. Now, the same is not true of the Asian market. It's closer to about 16 to 17%. That's the penetration rate. So, you know, really what Netflix has to do is kind of build more brand awareness, make sure that they have more content that is appealing to, you know, those parts of the world. But more important than anything is to make sure that the price is right. And I think for a market like India, what happened is when Netflix initially went in, they had their price point really, really high. It was close to almost $10 a month. And that is not what a typical average Indian customer is used to, right? An Indian customer is used to paying about $1 or $2 a month for their, you know, TV subscription. And so, you know, I think it took a while for Netflix to kind of understand those market dynamics. They have cut their prices by about 62%, I think over 62% towards the end of 2021. And they said that they're seeing some good results, but we'll have to see whether that plays out. And we're also seeing them make like huge investments in Asia, whether it's Korean content, whether it's Japanese content, whether it's, you know, Indian language content, you know, even Thai, Indonesian, like a lot of very, very local, authentic content investments. And I think that is definitely going to help them in the long run.
Geeta, thanks very much for speaking with us this morning. That was Geeta Ranganathan, media analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, weighing in on how Apple's recent win at the Oscars could signal a bigger shift, or how the bigger shift in the media industry will evolve with streaming platforms. I know for one thing, I'm quite interested to watch Coda. It's exactly the kind of feel-good drama that attracts me, I suppose. So I'd be looking to look at Apple TV Plus and seeing what subscription packages are out there.
Actually, I'm going to do the same this weekend.
You guys are too free, lah.
Well, it's
too
a weekend.
Too much time in your hands.
Not at all. I'm actually very selective about what I watch on TV.
So the fact that they've
managed to snag my attention, I mean, congratulations, Apple.
But I have to say, I'm not sure even if I subscribe this weekend to Apple Plus, I'm not sure if I will stay for longer, because I'm not very familiar with what they have in there. And
they
don't have a lot. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if the content of whatever's in there will outweigh when it comes to, you know, they won an award, you know, but that would actually weigh in more, in my opinion, when it comes to choosing which to subscribe.
Well, Apple is backed by like their pot of money to invest into new content is enormous. And in contrast with established players like Netflix, they still have the room to grow, right? I think even though we don't know what their subscriber base is, 20 million compared to 200 million for Netflix, 20 million, that's a big base to grow from. So everything's in their favor, from my view.
Yeah, so Netflix has 220 million subscribers. Apple's got 20 million subscribers. For Apple to go from 20 to 220, you know what it needs to do? It needs to get live sports. Live sports is a complete needle mover, game changer. If it does that, and if there's one company that can do that, it's Apple.
I mean, we can see that with Disney Plus, right? I think a couple of weeks ago, maybe last month, you and me were talking, Chuang, about Disney Plus and the fact that it has such a huge traction in India. And we were wondering, oh, why?
Cricket.
And it's because they show cricket matches. Yeah. And I do think that that's something these streaming platforms should be looking into. I know I'd be looking to subscribe to more platforms if they offer me access to the sports that I would like to watch. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.